Welcome back to War, Part 5. Last time we were looking at a quote by Selassie that says that, you know, mankind will never be at peace with itself. There will be racial wars, there will be all kinds of divisions and stuff. And of course, he, being a Christian himself, knew very well, as we all do, that until Christ returns, there will not be peace. And then we looked at the book of Revelation, starting to see how close we are for the end times. And that in reading Revelation, you get a blessing. God promises to give you a blessing. Whoever reads and hears this as well, and hears also about obeying as much as hearing from an auditory standpoint. And we said people may not necessarily care. They may think it's nonsense. They may be fearful and different positions, but you should care, you should hear, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then we were going to look now at the overarching context, which is how close are we to the end times? Like the men of Issachar, we can know the signs of the times. We don't know the hour and the day, as Jesus said. But we were going to take a look at the World Wide Web, the WW of the scriptural internet. You and I know that the internet itself can be a marvelous thing, but it can also be a crazy thing as well. It's opened up a wide world of knowledge. Sometimes a little bit of knowledge is a good thing, but in this case, a lot of knowledge is very dangerous. It can confuse you. But to fit this now into the context of what we're talking about, one of the signs of the end times is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. I want to remind everybody that this is not a prophetic teaching. This is just simply skirting the overview with the clear message, if you will, of a sequential timeline so that we don't get disturbed by, you know, is it tomorrow morning type of thing, because certain things have to take place there. But this is by no means an exhaustive prophetic teaching. There are far better people qualified to instruct on that. I'm simply giving you an overview. So Daniel chapter 12 verse says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Different ways of looking at that passage, but I've decided to take knowledge and just apply it as a principle to the knowledge you can get through Google, Dr. Google, Wikipedia, Google, etc., who can sometimes, you know, fire off a googly, as we used to say in cricket. So you have to be careful when you use Google, you might get a googly. But knowledge, certainly, it says, in the last days will increase. People will have more access to knowledge and so forth. And certainly, the developments that have taken place in the last 50 years, across the board, whether technology, medically, or otherwise, have exceeded those in at least the last 200 years comparatively. So it is safe to assume that knowledge has indeed increased. However, the danger is that the average person who is wading through some of that information, it can be confusing, right? It can be frustrating, it can be tiring, it can be exhausting. Especially if you do exhaustive research, it will most definitely be exhausting. But for the Christian, we have to know the source of that information on all subject matters, in particular matters that relate to our faith and the times we live in spiritually. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. When it comes to testing some of the things we hear on the internet, see on the internet, or even in a sermon, you could be in a church sermon or something you're listening to on a podcast or whatever, we should have a basic understanding of the sequence of events when it comes to eschatology, end times, so we don't get caught up in a mayhem before we get caught up in the clouds with Christ when he returns. to that point, I want to just say that, you know, where are we on the calendar of Revelation timeline then, right? So there's many theories that are abounding, you know, ranging from the far-fetched, like crazy stuff, to the total abandonment that we're even close at all. And don't worry. So there's those extremes. You see, like, oh my goodness, Chicken Little, the sky's falling tomorrow morning. The Lord told me it's on the 16th of October. Blah, blah, blah is what you'll hear. But there are other people who say, oh no, man, you know, not going to happen for now at all. 2 Peter 3 tells us about that. It says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Scoffers will come and say, hey, what's happening with this Jesus that you're talking about coming back to rapture you all out? Proverbs actually says, rebuke a prophet, a scoffer, and he'll hate you. You know, you don't cast your pearls before swine, Jesus said. So we know that there are going to be people that do that, and you're wasting your time trying to convince them. It's better you pray for them than to try to argue your way out of it. Doesn't mean that you can't have conversations, but generally speaking, we know in the end times we're going to see a lot of that. Let's take a exploration, if you will, of the timelines for the so-called mark of the beast, the rapture, and how things like vaccines, oh yes, here we go, and world events taking place may or may not have a role in this. Here's the thing. In this day and age of vaccine being the mark of the beast and all of this stuff that's going around, tracking devices found in, you know, the vaccine and nanoparticles and stuff, all of which, by the way, is technically possible. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Certainly there's going to come a day when these things actually take place for real. However, we cannot stretch scripture by saying specifically that a vaccine, quote unquote, is the mark of the beast. And the reason is scripture outlines a sequence of events that take place irrespective of how fast they roll out or how close we are in that timeline where the mark of the beast is prevalent. You can't accidentally take the mark of the beast. You can't, oh, the patent number from Microsoft is 060606, therefore the Microsoft patent for this equals that. You cannot bring those correlations, if you will, into play. You have to go back to the plumb line of scripture. That doesn't mean also that we're not to pay attention to those kinds of nefarious activities that are taking place below the surface. You bet. The patent in question of 060606 has to do with brain tracking, brain activity. So there is some element of truth, and then rewarded with a cryptocurrency for mining it. You get a reward. Very nefarious. Absolutely disgusting, as a matter of fact. So yes, but is it the mark of the beast? The answer is no. It's my opinion, no, and I use the word opinion, just because I feel, Lord, just give me a generality here. I'm not called to be a prophetic teacher and roll it out in specifics, but just give me a generality here, Lord. And it is my opinion that there are three separate components, aspects, if you will, and sequences that need to be rolled out in order for the day of the Lord to happen like a thief in the night. Here they are. I call them the unholy trinity. First of all, world economy, a world government, then a world religion. I believe, it is my opinion, it will happen in that order. It's easier for people to buy into certain things sequentially, like dominoes that fall, when you set certain things up. So there has to be a controlling world economy. You know, talk to a man's pocket and you have him under control. Then a world government, they will buy into the governance of a certain thing. And then you can introduce your world religion at that point. That is the unholy trinity. Remember, Satan copies everything God does. God's trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, has its evil counterpart, if you will, in Satan's kingdom. And so the world economy is what I call their representation of the father of money. You know, when you say something is the father of so-and-so, he's the father of invention, he's the father of faith, he's the father of this. It is who has fathered it, who has started it. Money, the god of mammon, is the world economy. That's the father in their evil trinity. The son, now in their evil trinity, is the world government. That is the son who has authority and dominion, and that talks about the beast, who then sets up Satan himself. And then you have world religion, which is the unholy spirit of worship. Satan desires worship. That is what he's looking to do to counter God. So first of all, for the mark of the beast, the rapture, any of these things to take place, you must first of all have the sequence of the unholy trinity rolling out with the world economy, the father of money, the world government, the son of authority and dominion, and thirdly, world religion, the unholy spirit of worship, in direct opposition to the Trinity itself. Next time, I'm going to break down the world economy for you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your worldwide internet of spiritual words that are living and active and sharper and double-edged sword, Lord. Thank you for that. Because your word purifies, your word penetrates, your word cleans, Lord. Your word speaks truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, I thank you that you will bring to light anything to do with the end times, Lord, so that we may know. We may know these are the signs of the times. We don't know the hour or the day, but we certainly can tell the season. Thank you, Lord, that it appears that we are now closer than we've ever been. We're not to be fearful, intimidated, but we are to be prepared. We are to be ready spiritually, first and foremost, in closeness to you and in spiritual maturity so that we can help others, so that we can be your ambassadors of the message of reconciliation. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.